Joshua, a very good friend of mine, and I'll introduce him to you on this edition of Key Life.
That's the foghorn voice of Steve Brown. And this is Key Life, designed to get you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness. If that is your desire, stay tuned as Steve opens God's Word.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Joshua. I told you yesterday we'd get into this, and I just got down a certain road and couldn't get off it, so we didn't get to Joshua. So, and that's what we're doing. We're going through the Old Testament, and I'm taking time to introduce each of the books to look at some of the major themes and some of the teaching in the books, because I think that Christians really need to know about the Old Testament. And if this gets old, we'll take a break and come back to it, because I really want to get through the entire Old Testament. Talking about taking a break, next week, not this week, but next week, we're going to take the whole week and spend it on some particular Christian themes. As you know, Christmas, I mean, it's hard to miss. Christmas is on its way. And then on Monday, which is Christmas Day, I'm going to do something special, but I haven't decided yet. I may read a story to you. I may use the wonderful Christmas story read by John Yeager's little girl when she was little. But we'll see. We'll see what we're going to do. Next week is going to be Christmas. This week, at least today, and what we have left of this week, I'm going to be talking about Joshua. Now, as I said, this is a part of an Old Testament survey. Now, we have seen, and if you were listening, you know this, that the Pentateuch, and we just studied that, are the first five books of the Bible. And it's one of the major divisions of the Older Testament. It's called the Law, or Torah, or Pentateuch. And we have seen it's those first five books. Now, the second great division of the Old Testament is called the Prophets. Listen, you can impress your friends with that. And they're seen in the Hebrew Bible as eight books. It's 23 books in ours. The Prophets section of the Old Testament is divided into the former prophets and the latter prophets. The former prophets, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. The latter prophets, isn't this interesting? Wake up. This is important stuff. I wanted you to know this. And the latter prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then the 12 prophets. Now, in the Hebrew mind, there is a third section of the Old Testament called the Writings. But we're going to get to that way, way into the future. At any rate, today we're going to begin our study of the former prophets by looking at the first of the former prophets, and his name is Joshua. Now, the book of Joshua was written, according to tradition, by Joshua himself, with an appendage recording the death of Joshua by Eleazar, and then the death of Eleazar written by Phinehas later on. Now, personally, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time going into a lot of technical things, I believe that that tradition is absolutely accurate. For the most part, when you read the book of Joshua, you're reading what Joshua himself is saying about what happened as God's people moved into God's land, the promised land. The book of Joshua is both history and biography. It's the history of Israel during the time of the conquest of Canaan, the promised land. But it's also the biography of a man of God named Joshua. I would like, frankly, to just go through this book verse by verse, because this is one of my favorite books of the Old Testament. Now, we're not going to have time to do that, but let me take some time to read to you the first 11 verses of the first chapter of Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon to as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites, the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Be not frightened, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the camp, and command the people, prepare your provisions. For within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan, to go to take possession of the land which your God gives you to possess. That was what God told Joshua. You know, I believe if God talked to me that way, I could do almost anything he wanted me to do. Well, dear friend, he does to me and to you. Incidentally, Joshua's original name was Hoshea, which means salvation. If you look at Numbers 13:16, you'll read where the name Hosea was changed to Joshua, which means Yahweh's salvation. The Septuagint spelling of Joshua, and was the name given to Christ at his birth. At any rate, Joshua, like so many great men and women of history, was not born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was born in the hot, dry land of Egypt to parents who were slaves, forced by the Egyptians to labor in the dusty brick fields of the empire. Joshua was a Jew. His father's name was Nun. He was of the house and the lineage of Ephraim. Young men do have dreams. In the ghettos, in the country where you're listening to this broadcast, there are very poor people, but you can't stop young men and young women from dreaming. But when you're a slave, you got to be careful not to dream too big. You're in a really bad place. You could get your dreams shattered. They have a way of turning to dust. As youth becomes middle-aged, most men, especially slave men, begin to temper their dreams against the rocks of reality. Joshua was not the exception. He had hoped that someday he might be free, that he might be able to hold his head up and speak his mind without having his head chopped off. But the teens gave away to the 20s, and his 20s blended into the 30s, and the 30s into 40s. He began to think, this is an empty dream. It's not going to take place. I've got to be a slave, and I'm going to be a slave until I die. And then one day, Joshua met a man. And Joshua came under the influence of a man who claimed to be called by God. His name, of course, was Moses. And he talked about God and obedience and faith and destiny and heritage. And what was more important to Joshua, he talked about freedom. Once again, the impossible dream of Joshua began to take shape. And the more Joshua listened to Moses, the more he realized that God was speaking and that God was calling him. Joshua decided, this is something big enough for me to give my life to. Joshua decided on that day to give himself to God under the direction of Moses. And from that day on, there was no turning back. In the book of Exodus, you can read about the freeing of God's people and of the leadership of Moses as the people followed him into the wilderness, searching for a promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. For the next 40 years, the story of Joshua has a number of wide gaps. We know he became a respected leader of the people. We know that Joshua was chosen as one of the 12 chiefs who were sent into Canaan to scout out the land. We know that he and a man by the name of Caleb were the only two who refused to participate in the revolt against the leadership of Moses. We know that at Sinai, when God gave the law to Moses, it was only Joshua who was allowed to go part of the way up the mountain with Moses. But frankly, we don't know a lot. From that point on, the story of Joshua except during that time, as we begin to move beyond that time, it gets a little bit more complete. Now, in case you've forgotten, let me refresh your memory about Moses. Moses, the man who had led and pushed and prayed and slaved over God's people. He died. 11th chapter of Hebrews says, these all died in faith, not having received what was promised. Next time you have a pagan friend who tells you the Bible is unrealistic, put that in his pipe and tell him to smoke it. These all died in faith, not having received what was promised. There's something kind of sad about the death of Moses. It must have killed Joshua. I mean, Joshua loved this man. He'd been loyal to him. He'd followed him. And now Joshua himself was an old guy. And now his leader, the man that he loved more than life itself, his leader, Moses, was dead. These all died, Hebrews 11, in faith, not having received what was promised. Moses didn't get a chance to go into the promised land, you remember? So it was to Joshua, and Joshua was going to have to do it without Moses. But let me give you the rest of that verse, and then we'll talk more about it tomorrow. These all died in faith, not having received what was promised, but there's more. Don't forget this part. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You think about that. Amen. We'll talk more about Joshua tomorrow. By the way, if you don't have the October, November, December magazine, I want to send it to you free. Call 1-800-KEY-LIFE, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or you can write Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. Love to send it to you. I wrote a piece called A Grace of Christmas. And then Ron Mills' piece, Love Found a Way to Adopt Us, which you're going to love. Question and answer column, my itinerary is there. A lot of great resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your coming to Jesus. And it really is free. But guys, we're going through a little rough period right here, if you like, right now. So if you can add a little bit or send us a contribution, man, I sure would appreciate it more than I can tell you. You can charge it on any MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, or include it in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send along as my thank you the cassette teaching Grace, the Heart of the Incarnation, as my thank you gift to you. Hey, listen, I've got to go. But before I go, be sure and give us the call letters of this great station, because some wonderful people make this broadcast possible. And, oh yes, Key Light is a production of Key Light Network.